Free Speech Radio News is produced by Kat Demesta from Pacifica Station KPST in Houston. Headlines editor is Randy Zimmerman at WMNF in Tampa. DC editor is Josh Chaffin. Technical producers are Pauline Bartolone and Sasha Lilly, with assistance from Joshua Cheshire at FedNet. And from WBAI in New York City, I'm Deepa Fernandez.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI in New York, where it's 7:02, and time once again for Off the Hook. I'm going to go on the record as saying that was not my fault. I hit all the right buttons. They just didn't work. And Ken, you're a witness, right?
I'm a witness.
He'll back me up at the hearing? Good. Okay, well, the next problem now is my next CD is being held captive by the machine. Look at this. I'm hitting eject. It won't come out. It won't play. And that's one of my favorite CDs. It's the Dread Zone CD that I've been playing the last few weeks. And a lot of people have been asking about that. But now you know, and you may never hear it again because it's stuck in. Does anybody know how to open the damn thing? I hated when things don't work. And today, nothing has worked right. It's one of those days where, you know, everyone just feels compelled to get in your way and prevent you from doing the things
I've
you need to do.
I've always made a point of telling my readers
all right,
in
who is
the
that?
8 books that
who
I have.
Who are you? Where are you? Oh, okay. That was from the other studio. The other studio, which somehow remained linked, even though we unlinked it. That's great. Can you get my CD out of there? It's stuck pretty good, isn't it? Sort of ruins the whole effect. Ah, everything was so together. Mike, you're back.
I have these handed-ended paper clips flying around the studio.
Because this happens so often that you need paper clips to extract your music from these god-awful machines. Here's a paper clip. Yeah, take that. Don't electrocute yourself, though.
Hi.
It doesn't translate well over the radio. Well, then, Mike, how are you? You weren't here last week.
I was not here.
And Jim, you weren't here either, and I see your shining face across the hall there.
Oh, it's long, sorry.
Yeah. Well, try not to manhandle the microphone too much so he can actually hear what you say.
Oh, well, long story.
Tell us the CNN headline news part of the long story. That way we can get, you know.
Oh, I was a guest of the State Department of Corrections for a few days.
You can't get that CD in this country, you know. I just want to point that out to the people who are trying to extract
it
out.
What, the State Department of Corrections CD? No.
No. Okay, no, seriously, then. You were basically charged by the Metropolitan Transportation Authority.
Well, I was charged by the state of New York, but that's previous.
They started it. The MTA started the whole thing with the state of New York, right?
Well, yeah, they with the city of New York, the police department, they gave them some what I'll nebulously call evidence, or rather what I'll call nebulous evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the process started quite a few months ago, got arrested, finally got indicted about a month ago.
I suspect you're some hanky-panky with Metro cards.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, man.
That's what it boils down to.
Should I try it again? Or
gently.
Nice and gently. You have to touch everything so gently around here. The machines are as sensitive as the people. All right.
What do you mean, though?
And the next sound you hear should be the the nice ambient sounds of Dread Zone. But they're not. Ah, there they are. Okay. No, that's not them either. Oh, because I don't have the right thing turned up. That was my fault. Okay. I'm sorry, Jim. So continue with
That's okay.
Legal tribulations here.
So they indicted me last month. Had a couple of court appearances. Missed one because I misread the piece of paper that they gave me.
Oh, really?
Well, that's my fault. Overall, it's my responsibility. But, I'm a day late, and I go into court, and I start asking around, what do I do? I would much rather not be arrested, you know, remanded until the next hearing. You know, it's a bad idea. So they said, well, contact your lawyer. Let him handle it. Are you sure? I say. Well, this teaches me never ask for advice until I've exhausted every possibility. And don't trust men in uniform on the ground floor. They probably know nothing. I don't think they gave me malicious advice, but they gave me wrong advice. So I spent a lovely two nights in the tombs.
They put you in jail?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Knocked on my door?
This reminds me of the Fiber story where we asked them, is it okay if we drop him off because of the ice storm, if we drop him off, you know, later? And they said, sure, no problem. We bring him to the prison, and they just throw him in the hole for 2 days without telling him anything. But, what, you got thrown in the tombs.
Yeah, they didn't tell me too much either. No, they didn't tell me too much. It's not very comfortable.
I was aware of that.
I have a great increased appreciation for Fiber and Bernie S. Mm-hmm. After just two little nights.
What, not Kevin?
Oh, yeah, Kevin. I'm sorry.
He's going to be displeased to hear that.
Yeah, I only met Kevin, you know, a month ago.
But, okay.
I mean, so, Fiber I met years ago. Bernie's a good friend of mine. I mean, come on.
So were you in jail last week while we were on the air?
Yeah.
Wondering what happened to you.
Yeah. Couldn't make a phone call. I really wanted to make a phone call, collect to the station. Actually, I had a calling card I memorized, and I had a touchtone phone.
I don't think you can use calling cards from jail.
It depends on what sort of phone you are. In the original holding cell, yes, it's a regular payphone.
Uh-huh.
And you can call collect. You can use coins if you have them. And
really?
You can,
now, the tombs are down in Chinatown, right?
They're right next to the criminal court building. The address is actually 125 White Street.
Uh-huh.
And it's connected via a bridge, nicknamed the Bridge of Sighs, after the famous thing in Venice in the medieval times, connecting the prison to the Doge's palace. The Doge was the head of Venice, and all his political enemies would go before him, and then he'd just send them over this bridge to the prison.
You must have spent hours discussing the history and the inspirations.
No, I stayed to myself. I figured that was much safer.
Yeah. Well, that's horrible. So two nights they kept you there. Anything happened that of worthy of note other than being bored to death?
A lot of bored to death.
Things that a hacker mind would see inside the tombs that perhaps we might appreciate.
Yeah, I was trying to think of that. There's not much. I believe that I have a greater appreciation for anybody who's been in prison or jail or worked their way out of prison or jail.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was looking around just for the hacker mind, not intending to escape. I figured I had enough trouble just missing a court appearance. Imagine the trouble I'd be in if I escaped. Just looking to see how feasible that was, and that was pretty damn unlikely. So all these guys who take a spoon and chisel through over 6 months or 2 years or whatever,
uh-huh.
Amazing.
And this is just from missing a court date.
Oh, yeah, well, I guess...
For showing up and saying that you missed the court date.
Well, no. It was not getting back to them in the time that they wanted, obviously, on my lawyer's part.
Uh-huh.
I said, it gets worse, of course.
Okay, do you want to talk about the worst part?
Oh, sure, let's talk about it.
We only have an hour.
Oh, okay, well, I'll make it really quick.
Yeah.
My lawyer, who is not happy with the fact that I haven't paid him aside from the initial amount, is now taking himself off the case. So I'm one step above a public defender, something called an 18B, which is a real attorney that donates or is forced to donate, I'm not sure how it works, some time to, technically I'm an indigent defendant.
Uh-huh.
So I've gone down in the quality of my counsel, And I have...
Well, you can't have been too high in that regard anyway, being winding up in jail. You know, that's
a good point.
Yeah. Can't get much worse than that.
It's supposed
to keep you out of jail.
Well, yeah, but on the other hand, like I said, it's my responsibility. If I had just read the damn piece of paper right, I would have made the appearance... The day before.
But you see, when you have a lawyer, they're supposed to also call you and tell you, remind you of things. I appeared in a deposition last week for the whole DECSS case yet again in front of the DVD Copy Control Association, and I was reminded constantly by my lawyer that you have to be here at this time,
we have
this bus to get there, etc.
We have one key difference. You're able to pay your lawyer.
Well, actually, that's not entirely true, but we'll get into that.
Some other time.
It's a special case. It's a special case.
Oh, okay.
And
whereas me, I'm just another peon in the system.
That should not enter into it. Payment should never
be.
Just like with medical care, payment should not. I mean,
a lot of things should be, but you and I know that they're different.
Mm-hmm. But this is what I mean when I say that certain things should not be treated as commodities. You know, you should have the right to legal, competent legal representation and to competent medical care and, you know, all that. But I'm just going to get off on this, my vision of the world, which you probably disagree with, which is rather ironic in the situation.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Jeff.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good. You?
Good to see you over there. I'm fine. Well, much better than Jim, obviously.
Yeah, but it's good to see him.
Thank you. So it's good to see all of you here on this Wednesday evening. Even I can't get it right. So, Jim, the next thing for you is what? Is there another hearing?
Not to mention my bail being revoked.
Uh-huh.
So I need to raise cash quick.
Wait, if your bail was revoked, then how do you raise... I don't understand. Did they raise it?
No, it was on my own recognizance.
Okay, so now you're worth something more than that.
Well, I was always worth more than that. I mean, even my enemies agree.
Uh-huh. What are they asking for?
I got a raise, 2.5. Jeez. $2,500.
Uh-huh. All right, well, outside on the street after the show, we'll be doing a little fundraiser for Jim. Join us. Address is 120 Wall Street.
I brought my harmonica.
All right, then. Well, there's so much we have to go through, and I definitely want to pay attention to this as well, but we have so many other stories to delve into. Well, Mike, you've been away. Anything you want to report on that has happened in Europe?
I have a website for the audience.
You have a website for the audience?
Yes.
I'm not sure I understand.
They have to visit this website.
Okay.
It is
What's
called
the address?
ColumbiaReallyDivest.org.
Columbia really divest, as opposed to Columbia divest.
That's a separate website.
Right.
That I'm not involved with.
So this is like the tradition of Verizon really sucks.
Yes.
Okay.
Really divest.
Did Columbia divest, out of curiosity, ColumbiaDivest.org, was that taken by Columbia University?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's not quite the same as Verizon sucks.
Yeah. There's also Columbia don't divest, but they're
separate. Who would start a website saying Columbia don't divest? Who goes to the trouble of doing that?
It's actually the most popular of the three, but
really?
But listeners shouldn't even bother.
All right.
Columbia really divest.
Really divest. And Columbia spelled with a U, not like the country.
Right.
Okay. And what's on this site?
Oh, they'll have to find out for themselves.
Well, you know, there are people out there who are sitting, you know, eating a can of soup over the sink right now that barely have electricity in their homes that don't have access to the Internet, and they'd like to know what's on this thing. And I think
go to the public library and look.
The public
They're library. In Burkina
yeah,
Faso.
The public library where you'll be monitored by, you know, the federal government and all kinds of other agencies. And, Surf, I think you're the expert on that, right?
Well, unfortunately.
You get monitored on the way over here?
Yeah, I think that there was somebody following me.
What's with this this whole DARPA thing? What was it? The Information Awareness Office? The Information Office for Information Awareness?
Total Information Awareness is the buzzword.
Total Information Awareness.
Total.
TIA.
Yes.
I see that phrase bandied about a lot now. But there's actually an office inside the Defense Department that's got... I mean, how would you describe the logo? It's so 1984-ish.
Right. Well, it's the pyramid with the eye on top, which anybody who's who knows about the Masons would be familiar with. It's an old Mason symbol, but it's also on the dollar bill, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that eye on top of the pyramid peering at what appears to be our planet.
People who are online right now, they can go visit this. www.darpa.mil/IAO.
Right.
And take a look at that symbol while you continue to describe it.
Yeah, while it's still there.
Yeah.
So that's it, and it says scientia est potentia, which is knowledge is power. So,
He's looking at me like I speak Latin.
No, well, wait a minute.
You go to Columbia, Mike.
It was the
knowledge
slogan
is
of my...
power. Wait, is that from 1984? No, knowledge is strength is from 1984.
Knowledge is power. It was the slogan of my junior high school, of all things.
Okay, they haven't
but
quite gotten to the point
they got
of
it from.
It.
They got it from Francis Bacon, circa 1580 or so, the English philosopher.
Okay, now the purpose of this agency, it's been in a story on 2600, but the purpose of this agency, I'm kind of confused. I mean, there seem to be so many agencies like this popping up, but this one's particularly scary looking.
Right, well, the logo almost says it all.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, you got the eye, you got the planet. It's the planet, right?
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, we are just a country on the planet. We're not, you know, we're not the entire planet, at least not yet.
Right, well, you know, one of the funny things about the logo is that our particular continent doesn't appear on the globe. You see a whole lot of Europe and Asia, and you see Australia.
Also and, watching them.
But we're on the other side. Well, you know, Australia is actually, appears to be on the dark side. It's on the part that isn't being illuminated by the all-seeing eye.
Well, they're lucky then, aren't they?
Yeah, for the moment. And then, of course, the all-seeing eye is certainly staring straight at the Middle East, but the whole fate of the Americas is really kind of unclear.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is basically that, yeah, it's the all-seeing eye. They want to take all different sources of communications intelligence, interception of, and, you know, we're not just talking about interception like with a court order of a particular person's phone or anything like that, but the kind of dragnet echelon type of thing where you're pulling in all emails, all telephone calls, faxes, other kinds of electronic communication, and you're also pulling in all kinds of databases, whether they're government databases or private databases belonging to hospitals or your local video rental store or whatever, and they want to integrate all of these sources into one system where they can search it the same way that you'd search the internet, or they can run little spiders on it the same way that search engines spider around the web.
But who is the they?
Well, you see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that it's not really clear. I mean, DARPA is doing this, but DARPA isn't an intelligence agency. They're a technology agency. They're here to develop this stuff. So who's going to be in control of it? Well, I would guess the Office of Homeland Security, but they don't even really exist yet.
Oh, but they will. They will.
They will, but who will be controlling it? And that's the problem, is that, you know, even if Homeland Security is the most honorable bunch of folks that you ever met...
Don't believe that.
Well, if you just pretend for a minute, I mean, let's say that they're totally honorable and that they'll use this thing the way it really ought to be used, and heck, it's a powerful system, and you could probably stop a lot of crime with it. But
like I said, if you can read brainwaves, you can also stop a lot of crime, but yeah, make it right.
But who's going to control it tomorrow? I mean, once you put something like this in place, who's going to control it? Who's going to say who has access to it? And who's going to make sure that that's enforced? You know, even if somebody says, well, this is only something that can be accessed by such and such department.
Well, I think you're being kind of negative here. I mean, it's not as if, you know, the watch lists that they put out on potential terrorists get out of hand, like that story that popped up on CNN the other day. U.S. watch list has taken on life of its own, FBI says. That's right. FBI officials said on Tuesday they have lost control, that's their words, of an agency-created watch list of people wanted for questioning following September 11 terrorist attacks. They acknowledge that the list, which has gone through several manifestations, has taken on a life of its own and has shown up on several websites and contains names of people who have been cleared of any possible connection to last year's attack. The FBI said the list was not a list of suspects or people who agents wanted to talk to. So basically they're saying, we wash our hands of this, it's out there, and we can't control it anymore. But, you know, I think the blame does fall squarely on them, because who started the list, who sent the list to various people who were irresponsible enough to send it all over the place, and, you know, who do we blame in the end? I think the FBI has got to take responsibility for this. A lot of innocent people are being targeted now who are, you know, not deserving of that kind of a thing. A law enforcement official compared it to the weekly terror bulletins sent out to state and local law enforcement partners. Once that leaves headquarters, we have no control, they say. However, it's wound up in the hands of private enterprise. Apparently, it gets sent to car rental agencies and other such places. Just for the sake of fun, I'm going to ask any of our moles in these places, if they have access to that list, send us a copy, because let's see how easy it is to get a copy of this list. And you can send that to oth@2600.com or just mail it to us or leave it on our doorstep or something like that. You know, if this thing is that kind of security threat, let's see how secure it really is. I don't think it's secure at all. I think a lot of innocent people are being taken advantage of. And that's the same basic threat on all of these, you know, whether it's DARPA or whether it's FBI. Basically, when you start these things, yeah, they don't get dismantled. They stay there and they get abused. And before you know it, everybody is able to look up anything and find out all kinds of personal information. It's no end. You mentioned Australia. Interesting things coming from Australia, too. Police in New South Wales will be given extraordinary powers to search vehicles, sites, and even a general, quote, type of person, unquote. What type of person do you think they'd say we were?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'd love to find out. A general type of person. In the event of a terrorism threat or after a terrorist attack. Now,
do they mean military folk, a general type of person?
No, they don't mean that. It's not capital G. But that's interesting because, coincidentally, Australia has gotten a terrorist attack. They've received a terrorist threat, rather, that they were looking for, so that enables them to do this. The terrorism bill, or otherwise known as the police powers bill, would allow police acting on credible information to stop, search, and demand the names and addresses of anyone who fitted the broad description of a potential terrorist. Human. Is that broad enough for you? The premier, Bob Carr, has outlined the details of the new legislation, which he described as, quote, one of the most significant bills introduced into the New South Wales Parliament, unquote. Under the legislation, the police commissioner, the deputy commissioners, or in their absence, an officer above the rank of superintendent could authorize the search of people, vehicles, and sites without a warrant over a 7-day period. And in the event of an attack, police could be given the same powers for 48 hours and the opportunity to extend that time if deemed necessary. It's like we're watching some science fiction thing unfold. It's unbelievable. I saw, you know, 1984 was on TV last night. The one from 1984 that was made in 1984. It was so familiar just looking at the people screaming at the telescreen and, embracing Big Brother. It seems more familiar every day.
You know, we were speaking just a moment ago about this suspect list, but it's soon going to be a thing of the past. I mean, if you look at this example in Australia, and if you look at the total information awareness example, the suspect list is going to be more like the phone book. You're not going to really need one because the exceptions will be the people who aren't the suspects.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely.
There's an excellent article in the New York Times by William Sapphire called You Are a Suspect. That everybody should take a look at if they can.
They go into a little more detail. Yeah, actually, that William Sapphire article has... I read that on the train the other day. Yeah, I broke my promise, and I took a train again, on Long Island, which I regret doing. And I don't know if I want to get into this, but they did something. They lost a train. They basically lost a train. Well, they didn't really lose a train. What they did was they gave out schedules a week ahead of time. So everybody got on the wrong train thinking there'd be a connecting one when there wasn't because we were still on the old schedule, but they hadn't given out the old schedule. They gave out the new schedule, so all these people were stranded. It was, like I said, I should keep to my promises. And
is this one of these double-decker diesel ones that they're doing now?
It was supposed to be, but it wasn't. It was nothing.
So there wasn't even any novelty to it.
It was
just
standing on a platform for an hour. Anyway, about the target person, they go into a little bit more detail as to what exactly a type of person is. We've made it very clear, for example, the description of Middle Eastern appearance would not be sufficient. It would have to go further in the detailing of that person. It may well be a Middle Eastern person with a beard and identification scarring.
Hey, wait.
Uh-huh.
This is about the beard.
Well, you don't look Middle Eastern. Not especially, anyway. You don't have to worry.
Yeah.
Also, sticking with Australia for a moment, a national ID card incorporating biometric features would help stem the rising tide of identity theft. That's the other scare word going around. That's according to a security and surveillance forum that was held in Sydney. Australian Federal Police forensic expert James Brandy said a better system for verifying personal identity was needed, and a national card would solve a lot of problems. As criminal activity patterns shift to ID theft, the impact is worse for individuals, he said. Your credit rating can be destroyed within a matter of hours. Now, is this really true? I mean, yeah, somebody can, you know, can get a hold of your credit card, they can get a hold of all kinds of other things, but identity theft is, you know, it's something that I don't think is as impossible to deal with as the people who want you to panic are saying. You know, there's something in it for them if you panic and say, we have to have this because otherwise someone could steal my identity. And what's more important to me than my identity?
Well, you know, in these situations where people have their identity stolen and, mm-hmm. and somebody's running around buying things out of them or pretending that they're dead or something like that, the big problem always seems to be that when they call up these companies that think that they're up to something that they're not up to, and they explain, well, no, you see, that's not me. I'm really still alive and not buying lots of gold jewelry all over the world. Mm-hmm. People don't believe them. They trust the computers before they trust the people.
Well, that's just stupidity. That can be treated.
Oh, yeah.
This, however, I mean, once you establish national ID cards to, quote-unquote, fight these things, again, you're setting up something which is never going to be dismantled, something that can be used for all kinds of nefarious purposes, and I don't think it's really much, will do much, you know, to solve this problem. It'll just cause a lot of other problems. So, national ID cards, one step closer in Australia.
Yeah, wasn't Australia, like, founded by prisoners? You'd think they'd be used to crime.
Yeah.
They should be more accepting.
Yeah, I guess that's a valid point there, Mike. Language tucked inside the Homeland Security bill will allow the federal government to track the email, internet use, travel, credit card purchases, phone and bank records of foreigners and U.S. citizens in its hunt for terrorists. That's us, folks. That's the United States. In what one critic has called a Super Snoop's dream, this is what we were talking about before, the Defense Department's Total Information Awareness Program would be authorized to collect every type of available public and private data in what the Pentagon describes as one centralized grand database. In a blistering op-ed piece in the New York Times entitled You Are a Suspect, columnist William Sapphire compared the database to George Orwell's Big Brother government in the novel 1984. Listen to this. To this computerized dossier on your private life from commercial sources, add every piece of information that government has about you, passport application, driver's license, and bridge toll records, judicial and divorce records, complaints from nosy neighbors to the FBI, your lifetime paper trail, plus the latest hidden camera surveillance, and you have the Super Snoop's dream, a total information awareness about every U.S. citizen. It's unbelievable. It's hard to distinguish fiction from fact. But people are saying, including Representative Bob Barr, Georgia Republican, it's outrageous. It really is outrageous. He's lobbying the Senate to remove this and other provisions, but I don't think they succeeded. I think the whole Homeland Security thing passed because a key number of Democrats caved in and said, okay, we're going to compromise.
More than a key number, 90 senators voted for this thing.
Mm-hmm. Out of 100.
Out of 100.
Yeah.
Bob Barr really is a hero now and again.
Well, yeah, I don't know. There need to be more people that see this kind of thing, and there just aren't. It's an uphill battle. And I guess, you know, if there's any good that comes out of the election results, what's going to be happening in the years ahead, it's that everything bad that happens from this point on will be blamed squarely on the Republicans, and they just won't be able to talk their way out of it this time. And maybe the opposition in the future will actually have some backbone, you know, and that they may actually stand for something different, unlike what the Democrats have been doing.
I mean, I don't think this is a partisan issue. As I said just a moment ago, 90 people voted for this. Most of them were many of them were Democrats.
Yeah, that's because there's no real difference between the two. But, you know, there's enough of a difference that, you know, there won't be any argument with anything George Bush wants to do in the next couple of years. There's no significant difference. And if we go down a really bad road, which it looks like we're doing, people might actually demand some kind of change, and it might actually happen. That's the only good I can see out of this. I'm grasping at straws. Okay, so everything bad has been passed, and there's nothing really. Internet providers such as America Online could give the government more information about subscribers and police would gain new internet wiretap powers under legislation creating the new Department of Homeland Security. Provisions of the bill tucked into a section about cybersecurity enhancements received scant attention during debate. Most of these provisions passed the House as part of separate legislation in an overwhelming 385-3 vote during the summer, but they were never considered in the Senate. Many are similar to changes made last year under the USA Patriot Act, which included new laws affecting internet wiretaps and hacker investigations. One new provision, this is from the Associated Press, by the way, one new provision raises possible criminal penalties to life in prison for hackers caught during electronic attacks that cause or attempt to cause death. I'm not sure if there's ever been a hacker attempt that has attempted to cause death or has caused death.
You'd think that an attempt to cause death would be a crime by itself without any special new laws.
You'd think that. You would think that. I guess it depends who's doing it. What I'm worried about is how they're going to define attempting to cause death. You know, what they're actually going to, I'm sure they would accuse Mitnick of attempting to cause death somehow by looking at source code for cellular phones, because that source code could be used to, you know, overtake 911 and cause the whole thing to crash and people would die, and I don't know.
They'd probably starve Qualcomm employees to death.
Yeah, that could be as well. An attack aimed at causing, quote, serious bodily injury. I don't know how hackers can cause serious bodily injury by hacking, but... if they say that it does, it could result in 20 years behind bars. We must not ignore the growing threat of cyber attacks, said Representative Lamar Smith of Texas, who first introduced the proposals as the Cybersecurity Enhancement Act. Just a few years ago, hackers vandalized popular commercial and government websites. I think, you know, that's a better way of saying it. I wouldn't even say it was hackers, but vandalizing is the appropriate term. Including those websites for the Pentagon, White House, and Senate. But compared with the threat of electronic shutdowns of critical services, such attacks seem like simple nuisances. Supporters of the sentencing changes for hackers say they eliminate differences with penalties for other crimes that might also result in deaths. Critics noted that some prosecutors have been accused of exaggerating the scope and financial damages from hacker attacks. Yes, they have been accused of that. Right here, they've been accused of that, and you've got to keep a sharp eye on that.
You know, another part of that Cybersecurity Enhancement Act that I don't think was mentioned right there was that there's a provision in there that says that any state or local government agency must reveal any information that they have about any person in violation of their privacy if a federal agency comes to them and explains that there is some kind of pending immediate threat going on. I would imagine this is a terrorist threat or something like that. But essentially, no warrant. Federal government comes to you, local fireman, school principal, whatever, and says to you, we need information on this individual. You'll be required under this Cybersecurity Enhancement Act to provide that information. And all you have to do is afterward, you have to notify the Justice Department of what information you gave out. And not even really the specifics, just on how many individuals it pertained to, and to whom you disclosed it, and that's it.
This whole thing, it really makes me think a lot. I mean, after September 11th, you have to look at these, you know, in fairly stark terms and ask who benefited from that. You know, was it religious zealots in another part of the world? No, not really. They didn't benefit at all. The people who want these kinds of things are the ones who benefited, and that really scares me. They're just perched, waiting for an opportunity to take advantage of a gullible public, someone who knows when people are vulnerable. They're out there, you know, and you have to recognize the signs. And I think we're seeing this put into practice right now. Going over to England, Britain is considering a controversial scheme to implant surgically electronic tags in convicted pedophiles amid fears that the extent of the abuse of children has been massively underestimated. Documents obtained by The Observer reveal the government could track pedophiles by satellite with a system similar to that used to locate stolen cars. You have to know where all the pedophiles are, you have to know where the stolen cars are, and then you can just gradually, you know, expand upon that until everybody gets one of these things at birth, because maybe they'll get abducted or they'll turn into a crazy person, and you have to know where they are. You know, so by implanting surgically electronic tags in people now, we're starting it up. We're starting up something that will become commonplace. The tags can be put beneath the skin under local anesthetic and would also be able to monitor the heart rate and blood pressure of the abuser, alerting staff to the possibility that another attack was imminent. So I guess if their heart rate and blood pressure like changes, that means they're about to commit a crime, the pedophile, that is.
What if so they killed for a jog or something?
Yeah, I was just going to say they can't be a jogger or go for a run.
I don't know. Maybe they can tell. Maybe there's a difference between jogging heart rate and sex crime heart rate. I don't know. I'm not an expert on these things, but we must trust the people who are obsessed with this, that they will do the right thing. Tracker is the name of the company that runs Britain's largest stolen vehicle monitoring network, and they've already been approached about pedophile monitoring, and computer company Compaq has been asked to develop the software. Compaq has already developed similar technology for NASA to monitor remotely the bodily functions of astronauts. In the case of pedophiles, the technology would not measure sexual excitement, but would monitor the offender's state of nervousness and fear. So if you get a confident pedophile, I guess you're out of luck. So I guess they'll be sending pedophiles up on the space shuttle to really do some good experiments and get this thing finalized.
You know, if these really do become widespread, it'll be great. They'll be able to graph the overall nervousness of the nation so that when they do all of this panicking in the media, you can see how effective it is just like that.
Well, can you imagine if everybody had one of these things and you were just able to tell by satellite when people are nervous, you know? You'd be able to swoop down on them and, you know, find out why they're nervous and help them before they do something they regret.
It will be a service to society.
That's right. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. We're here live this week, as we are every week. And we'd like to know what you think about all this. I know if we haven't depressed people too much. Just remember, we're all going through it together. And as long as this radio station is here, we have a voice. We have a way of reaching people, and that's kind of important. Yes, I know people are driving around in the tri-state area, swerving off the road after hearing the things we're saying. And it's frightening. It really is. For instance, listen to this. Just this paragraph. In a victory for the Bush administration, a secretive appeals court Monday ruled the U.S. government has the right to use expanded powers to wiretap terrorism suspects. A secretive appeals court. I mean, those words would not have even been uttered years ago. And now they're just commonplace. They're just hidden inside stories. Courts that we don't know about. Justice being, you know, handed out without any kind of explanation. Missiles being aimed at people in foreign countries that we deem suspects and just obliterated off the face of the earth. And maybe someday they'll do that here, too. You'll see a missile crash down in a car on Fifth Avenue. Oh, yes, that was a terrorist. Move along. That's what we're moving into. Anyway, in a 56-page ruling overturning a May opinion by the Secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Well, they're not secret enough not to have a name, I guess. The three-judge appeals court panel said the Patriot Act gave the government the right to expanded powers. Well, we kind of warned people about that, and that is definitely true. The Secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Do you think it's illegal for us to try and find out more about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, like where they are and who's on them and things like that?
They were in the news fairly recently when, for the first time in their history, they denied the government something.
Right. This is...
That was in May.
Yeah. This is what's being overturned now. The Secret Court had actually made a pretty good decision, which is that they said that the Patriot Act didn't authorize these new snooping powers. But that's been overturned.
Yeah, this was in May. Seven judges that comprised the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court unanimously told the government it had gone too far in interpreting the law to allow broad information sharing. And now, a secretive appeals court, a secretive appeals court to the secretive Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, apparently has overturned that. Mm-hmm. And that's not a secret anymore.
And because the case is DOJ versus DOJ, there won't be an appeal.
No, it's probably illegal to even try. Okay, enough of that. How about some... boy, the phone lines are really ringing. Let's do some listener mail real quick, and then we'll take some phone calls. A bunch of people wrote in about the GSM questions we had. We were asking people to experiment with their GSM phones in this country. One person wrote in and said, I picked up AT&T and T-Mobile on my GSM phone in Philadelphia. I haven't tried switching because I'm afraid of unknown charges. Well, you know, you're never going to learn anything that way. If you're afraid of unknown charges just for hitting a button on your phone. First of all, just switching over is not going to cost you anything. It's making a phone call or receiving a phone call might cost you something. But it's our contention that that nowhere in this country can you switch from one company to the other and start making phone calls. This person writes in and says, no company will allow roaming in the same country because these companies will not want other customers from different companies to use their service. For example, mobile company number one has superior service but high prices. Mobile company number two has crappy service but low prices. If mobile company two customers would use mobile company one services at a possibly lower price, then why sign up with mobile company one? I think you can ask that question anyway, you know, even without being able to switch back and forth. And then this person wrote in from Norway saying, I just thought you should know that we have the same situation in Norway. You can see the two main networks, but you cannot select any other than the one you pay your bills to. Well, that raises an interesting question, because when I was in Norway, I was able to switch from one company to another over there on my GSM phone. Maybe we have it all wrong. Maybe when you're in your home country, you don't have the ability to switch. But when you go to other countries, do you have the ability to switch? And when people come to this country, do they have the ability to switch from T-Mobile and AT&T or whatever two GSM companies serve an area at the same time? Something I'd like to know more about. If people can continue to experiment, let us know what they find out. I was very impressed when I went to Europe and I was able to switch between companies. I just assumed everybody had that capability, but maybe we didn't quite get it right. Let's see now. Got to skip that one. Okay. This is interesting. Then we'll take some phone calls right after this. 212-209-2900. Jeff, you have something?
Yeah, I got a couple of things here.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Uzi Nissan's name popped up.
Uzi Nissan. How is he?
I don't know how he is, but they just spoke about the fact that everyone was probably familiar with his case.
Mm-hmm.
And just to keep his Nissan.com domain name. More of the same stuff came about. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution was reporting that their staff music writer, Bill Wyman, has received a cease and desist letter from lawyers representing former Rolling Stone Bill Wyman for a seriously misleading and arguably an intentional unauthorized exploitation of our client's name, goodwill, and publicity value. It should be interesting to see how this one plays out, because Bill Wyman, the musician, was born William George Perks and changed his name to Bill Wyman in 1964. Journalist Bill Wyman was given that name at birth in 1961.
Now, that's interesting. So they want him to not use his name.
His birth name.
At all. It's not just to put out rock and roll albums. It's just writing anything.
That's his job as a music critic.
And that's his name.
That is his name, yeah.
Now, the guy who killed Lennon, what was his name? Was that Mark Chapman? Was that the guy who tried to kill Reagan? I get him mixed up all the time. Well, whatever. There's a writer in a newspaper that does, I think, music reviews with the same name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's music, you know. So, you know, if there was a new John Lennon compilation out, he might wind up reviewing it. Imagine that. You know, that's kind of disturbing right there. But, you know, you kind of know it's not the same person. You know, you use your brain. And, you know, it's people do have, you know, the same name. It happens sometimes.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I just found out there was another Emmanuel Goldstein in a famous book. You know? And, boy, it's surprising to find out these things. There's all kinds of coincidences. What else do you have?
I've got another piece here about technology that renders optical media useless after a short lifespan will soon find its way into stores from the perishable DVDs. I understand down south they started giving a sample DVD to buyers of a CD, something by Nappy Roots, a hip-hop group. And this promotional DVD from Atlantic Records will work for only 8 hours.
8 hours. What if it takes you that long to get to the store?
No. Once you break the seal.
Oh, okay.
On the package, it starts to oxidize. It's no longer good after 8 hours.
Well, what if you keep it in like a vacuum?
I don't know. That may be an expensive way to maintain your DVD collection, but
if it's necessary, that's what I'll do.
The important thing that I got a kick out of this article was the spin that they were putting on this. This promotion is aimed at finding if music fans would be interested in buying a package that both audio and video that has both audio and video instead of just plain audio. A special dye sandwiched between the layers of the DVD will interact with air, making it opaque and unreadable later. If this media catches on, you may not have to return your DVD rentals in the future. Like, that's a big plus. If every time you want to see a movie, you now have to pay for it. If you, they'll turn this into all DVDs. You won't be able to buy them anymore without this kind of lifespan on it.
This is an interesting letter somebody wrote in from Canada. I believe they wrote in from Canada. I saw it. This person is a Canadian citizen. I'm writing you in hopes that you will read this on the air. Well, you got your wish. So that American people will see what is going on in your House of Representatives. I myself am a Canadian citizen, which in my opinion provides me with good coverage of your administrative system and shelter from the media hype being used to stir up emotion and manipulate the American people. Well, there's some truth to that. We all have the ability to get out and see alternative viewpoints. We just have to work a little bit at it. And I know in other countries you kind of get that a lot easier. I think most people listening to this show have already made the attempt to find alternative views. You just have to continue doing that and get other people to do that as well. Anyway, continuing with the letter, I recently found this quote while surfing the net looking for information on the Homeland Security bill. We were given a massive new bill this morning that is being rushed through the House with no opportunity for debate, said Representative Henry Waxman of California. I doubt more than 10 people in Congress know what's in the bill. This is extreme abuse of the democratic system, especially when you consider the important bills such as Homeland Security bill that will greatly affect the life of the American people. I think that the Bush administration is well aware of this, and they're actively exploiting this vulnerability in the American democratic system. Take, for example, the Homeland Security Act. Part of this act states that a malicious hacker, if convicted, may face life imprisonment. Clearly, this does not contribute to Homeland Security at all. Also could bring this email to another topic of malicious hackers. How can a hacker who is not malicious defend themselves against a group of people who clearly do not understand the technology, nor the mindset or motives of a hacker? And we saw that for years in the Kevin Mitnick case and the Bernie S. case as well. You know, how do you explain it to these people? How do you avoid the hell that they want to put you through? Anyway, it's interesting to look at this, especially the fact that most people in Congress probably haven't read these bills all the way through, and they have very little time to debate them and to think about them. Unfortunately, they just get passed, and we're stuck with them. 212-209-2900.
Just one more quick thing. The cable companies are paying Blockbuster employees a bounty for turning in people that brag or talk about having access to boxes or illegal boxes, illegal cable.
Well, I'm not sure I understand. You mean if
you happen to go in, rent a movie, yeah, we're going to watch this after the game. Yeah, we have a box. We don't have to pay for our cable.
If you say that inside a Blockbuster store,
and the employee,
hears you,
can
well, how are they going to know who? Because of the card.
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
They need.
This could be fun. A lot of people out there have Blockbuster cards. How about this? They're open until midnight, or maybe even 1 a.m. now. Some places. Everybody with a Blockbuster card, go to your local Blockbuster and brag about how you get cable for free and see what happens. Those people who do get cable for free, don't do that. But those of you who don't, go in there and just start bragging about how you get all this stuff for free. You know, bring a friend so you don't seem like a crazy person talking to yourself. Or maybe bring a cell phone and just talk to that. And, let's see if that's true. They get a bounty for turning people in.
From an employee. So
you heard this firsthand?
Secondhand from his friend.
Okay.
But I'm actually going to find out if it's $50 or $100.
Okay, well, let's find out. And maybe we can even, split it with the people at Blockbuster. But they won't find anything. I don't know. It'll be interesting to find out what happens. You might want to tell your parents about this, too, kids, in case they wonder who's knocking at the door. 212-209-2900. Let's take some phone calls. Good evening. You're on the air.
Thank you. A couple of very small details. The DARPA is under the auspices of the NRO, the National Reconnaissance Office, the black budget of the NRO. You familiar with that organization?
DARPA is not funded under any kind of black budget or anything. They may have divisions which are, but the NRO is a separate organization under the Defense Department.
It's listed as under their. I'm not sure how you phrased the question. You're saying what does DARPA get their commands or something? Well, where do they get? I don't remember how you phrased it.
DARPA is part of the DOD, and their budget is a DOD research budget for the most part. They may have projects underneath DARPA.
Oh, okay. There's two projects that I know about that were joint projects with the NRO. The next thing is the Hughes Aircraft Corporation in 1995 started what they called subdermal identitags, and they were micro rice grain-sized chips that they implanted with epidermic needles for identification. their employees, Hughes, I think, they were first to do that. And I wanted to mention the article in The Economist about a month ago, two issues ago, on mind control. There is a technique, have you heard of this, called fMRI, I think it's functional magnetic resonance imaging, where they claim that it's to help people with depression, but when you read further, it describes how they can activate states of mind and aggravate people and or relax them. Every time they say that they can't do things like motor functions, you know that, of course, they can, or where it says that...
Mm-hmm.
Where it tells you that this is not about tracking the guy down for sexual impulses. It's because they're looking for fear. You know, it's about the sexual impulses.
Right. Okay, thanks for the info.
Thank you.
We have to move pretty fast. You get any more calls in? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, man. Yo, it's Montag calling from Virginia.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I was calling because I'm finally Verizon free at my house.
You what?
I've escaped from Verizon.
Oh, you've escaped from Verizon. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, unfortunately, I escaped to Comcast, who's being merging with AT&T now.
Ah, yes.
Now, I did have a technical question for you guys, though.
Okay.
I've just obtained an Eagle One phone switch that a friend of mine got from a renovation. On home service, is there a way to do that caller ID spoofing thing with your own phone switch, or is that a little bit outside of home service package capability?
That's a good question. I don't have the resources right now to answer that. If you send me an email, I might be able to forward it to some people that can help.
Oh, certainly.
All right.
And how did your thing with your shortwave in your car work out?
It's an ongoing battle. Actually, what I'm doing, I'm waiting for my car to die because it's kind of old, and rather than go to all this trouble to fix it and get the shortwave working properly, I think I'll just wait for the car to die and then put the radio in the new car.
What kind of radio do you have for that?
It's a Sony, and it comes from United Arab Emirates. And
oh, really?
It's really kind of cool.
I'll email you and ask you more about that, because I was going to get a shortwave so I can listen to your show down here, too.
Okay, great.
So, okay, cool. Well, I hope the show went well today. I didn't get an opportunity to listen to it.
Okay, well, it's still going on, so we're going to continue with another phone call, and good luck with that buzzing noise, whatever that was. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening.
How you doing?
A couple of really quick things. First of all, DARPA doesn't report to NRO.
Okay, I think we established that.
Yeah, NRO is a major client, as are lots of agencies, but that's not the mission.
Okay.
The second thing is on these CDs, DVDs that go away in 8 hours, we've already shown that in that window you can certainly make a digital copy, and that works just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing,
without using DECSS, I might point out.
Yep, that's correct.
All right.
And the third thing is just another coincidence. Not only are there multiple Emmanuel Goldsteins, but there are even multiple Eric Crowleys.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that astounding?
I'll have to tell him that.
Take care.
All right. How about that? 212-209-2900. And good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
I was hoping to get in on the 2600 board.
Well, this is off the hook radio show. You're on the air now.
Well, Emmanuel, you got to help me.
Okay, I'll try.
I think maybe I'm turning into a conspiracy theorist.
Well, it's not hard these days.
Well, I've been reading the paper, and I see that this guy, John Poindexter, who got kicked out the National Security Advisory, is working for the government again and trying to voice software to watch people.
Yeah.
And it's making me paranoid.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how those people who are convicted of doing evil things somehow become entrusted to do more evil things, except this time have permission to do it.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop there.
No, it certainly doesn't stop there.
As a matter of fact, I moved to the UK a few years ago and felt some relief, but then I felt like I was being watched.
Well, the UK is not much better.
I used to change in the parking lot before going for a run.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed these cameras following me, and I realized that they're watching me.
They're big on cameras over there. They really are, and talking cameras, too. It's great. In Piccadilly Circus once, I saw these drunken teenagers standing in a fountain, and this loudspeaker came out of nowhere just saying, please get down from there.
Right.
They had a camera on them, and apparently somebody's watching it.
But some of them are pretty polite, too.
Yeah, they're very polite.
They're,
you know, they'll say please and sir a lot while they're abusing your rights, just like the NYPD, but it doesn't make it any better. You know,
And then I see this thing called the Patriot Act, where and so on, where the government. I did some research, though. I did a reverse definition lookup on what these things are, and I came up with the term manifest destiny. That you might not, you might remember that that's the God given right. It was a quote a Democratic leader in 1845 to describe the move west, the right of our manifest destiny to spread over and to possess the whole of the, I'm quoting, of the continent which Providence has given us for the development of a great experiment. In other words, everything west of the Mississippi was our manifest destiny to rule it. God gave us that right, and I'm thinking that this all has the feel of a sort of a manifest destiny euphoria to it, you know.
Well, you know, in that regard, and just to close things off here, because we are kind of out of time, I think we also part of a destiny, and we have to be where we are right now, you know, listening and speaking out and being aware and inviting other opinions and stuff like that. And that's the importance of what we do and what this whole community is about. And hopefully we'll be here for a while, and hopefully we'll be able to continue doing this with your support. We will. It's Manuel Goldstein for Off the Hook. We've reached the end of another week. Just when we're starting to get going again, we got to get out of here. But we'll be back again next week. Until then, have a good night. Try not to get too depressed.
1, 2, 3, 4.
One of the many cliches about comics is that they're only for men and boys and always have been. Not true, of course, and becoming less true every year, but girls and women were half the readership back in the late 40s. Trina Robbins, probably the first woman to write and draw underground comics, is the author of The Great Woman Cartoonist, a history of women in comics going back to the late 19th century. She'll be joining me, Ken Gale, on Monday, November 25th at 10 a.m. for a Woman in Comics special. Other guests are yet to be confirmed, so check www.comicbookradioshow.com for an up-to-the-minute list of guests. That's 10 a.m. Monday, November 25th, here on 99.5 WBAI, New York.